Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 101, Soup Season. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the show that's all about home cooking. And you already know that. If you've listened to any of my episodes, you know that's what we're all about here. Getting in the kitchen, having more fun, learning to cook new things, being more confident, all that good stuff. Well, I'm a little bit late getting an episode out. I apologize for that, but here I am. I'm back. It's been a little bit crazy. As you know, this is fall, and I have a son who is in kindergarten now, and there's all sorts of school activities that are happening. He's in kindergarten basketball, and there's activities otherwise at the school, so that's taking up some time. And we're getting ready for a big Halloween party bash, our annual Halloween party here coming up this weekend. So we've been a little bit busy, but that's no excuse. I need to be getting these episodes out a little bit more. So today I thought I would take a few minutes and just have a nice casual conversation with you about soup. But before I get into that, you know, I just want to remind you that you can head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/101 to get the show notes for this episode. Particularly in this case, I'll be putting some links into some of the recipes I talk about when it comes to soup. And of course, you can find the show over on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast. And you can find me on Twitter at TKC Podcast. And of course, you can always email me directly to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Always love to hear from you folks. Well, if you're a new listener to the show, welcome. I know with the iTunes, Apple Podcast changes that came down with the last update, a lot more people seem to be finding the show through Apple Podcasts. So welcome. And I know some of you are curious on who won the most recent cookbook giveaway for the Instant Pot cookbook. And Carol in Arkansas sent in the winning message and I drew her name. So Carol, congratulations. Enjoy the Instant Pot cookbook. Please share any interesting tidbits or tips or recipes you find in there with the rest of us. We'd love to hear it. Just send me a note and I'll get it out to the group. All right, enough of the preamble. Let's jump into the show and talk about soup season. All right, first thing I need to do before I even get into the soup conversation is I have a confession to make. And this is going to sound weird given the topic that I've chosen for the episode today, but here it is. Soups don't inspire me. I know that's terrible, but that's just the way it is. But let me kind of explain what I mean by that before you just click stop and move on to the next podcast in your list. I guess what I mean is soup doesn't inspire me as an eater. So I never really order soups when I go to a restaurant because soups just don't excite me in that way. Even though fall is here and in the Pacific Northwest, the weather's cooling down, the days are getting shorter. Typically people think soup, but soup season, and it is, but it's kind of low on my roster of dishes I like to bust out on a regular basis. Now, on the other hand, every time I eat good soup or I make good soup or I go to a restaurant and order good soup and it's, you know, wonderful and delicious, I'm excited and I'm thrilled and I'm happy about it. But it's always at the front end. It just doesn't excite me that much. And that's probably evident because I haven't really talked about it much on the show. Although in the past, I have had an episode on, I think it was a quick fix on tomato soup. And I think I've talked about chicken noodle soup as well. And of course, there's other things like chilies and stews. I don't consider those soup. So they're kind of a different thing altogether. But today I wanted to focus on soup itself. And I thought the easiest way to do it, rather than kind of go into some sort of a dissertation on soup and soup making, would be to pick five of my favorite soup recipes to share with you to kind of explain what they are. And I'll provide the links in the show notes for those so you can go out and try those yourselves. Now, the other thing about soup is it does hold kind of mystical is probably the wrong word, but it kind of holds this quality about it where people think, oh, soup is difficult to master. You may have heard somewhere along the line that if you can master soup, you can cook anything, or it's in a classic kitchen or a classic fancy restaurant, you know, soup is the most difficult dish to pull off well. And there might be some truth to that. But as a home cook, it's really not too hard to pull off a good soup. You just don't overdo it. Don't go crazy. Don't pick recipes that are overly complicated or have tons and tons and tons of ingredients, and you'll be just fine. All right, so let's let's get inspired about soup and go through some of these recipes. I've picked out five. And again, I'm not going to talk about chicken noodle soup or the tomato soup that I've talked about in the past. I'll put the links to those episodes and that information in the show notes so you can go find those if you'd like. But today I'm going to talk about five different recipes. I think I've not covered any of these. And I'll put links to these recipes. Now, these are not my own recipes. In many cases, I found these recipes online and maybe I've tweaked and modified them to suit my tastes and my style over time. But the links I'm going to share with you are kind of the base recipes for these particular soups. Okay, are we ready? All right, let's get right into the first one. This is one of my all-time favorite soups. We make this in our household probably more than any other soup combined. It's just such a fantastic dish, and that is pasta fagioli soup. Now, you may have heard this as pasta fagioli soup, but it's the same dish. It's just different pronunciation of the same recipe. And pasta fagioli is basically pasta and beans, and it's an Italian soup. And there are many ways you can make it. The main thing is, though, it has to be made up of pasta and beans. But we add in things like ground beef and tons of vegetables to go along with it. It's very highly customizable. And this is one of those soups that is even better as a leftover. The flavors build. It'll thicken up a little bit, so you need to thin it out with some broth or water when you go to reheat it. But it's so delicious. And so basically, pasta fagioli is pasta, and usually small pasta. We typically use elbow macaroni, but ditalini pasta, the real tiny, short, kind of half-size. They almost look like really miniature, shrunken down, I guess, penne pasta in a way with straight ends. Those are kind of hard to find. It's kind of hard to find ditalini in my hometown here, so we just go with the small elbow macaroni, and they work just fine. For the beans, typically we used canned cannellini beans, but you could use kidney beans, great northern beans, really any type of bean will do. But traditionally, I think cannellini beans are the way to go. But I kind of think of this almost as an Italian chili, even though that's not, you know, kind of a blaspheme if you're a chili fan or if you're an Italian soup fan. Neither one of you are going to be happy when I say that. But it's a very hearty soup, and the addition of ground beef, or you could even use Italian sausage, really makes it a standalone meal, and it'll fill you right up. And I like to add in extra spice into mine, just like a really spicy pasta fagioli soup. Again, not traditional, but really great. For vegetables, it's the usual suspects, onion, celery, garlic. Once in a while, we'll throw in carrots just for a little bit of variety. And then your typical Italian kind of spice and herb palate, thyme, basil, oregano, parsley, and tomato paste. So pasta fagioli soup, again, very hearty. When you're looking for something to really warm you up on those cool fall evenings, personally, this would be the first recipe I go for when it comes to soups. The recipe I've used and I've used for years and years has actually come from All Recipes. And again, I'll put a link to that in the show notes at kitchencounterpodcast.com/101. So my first soup, Italian pasta fagioli. If that's the only soup I talk about today that inspires you, my work will be complete. My mission will be accomplished. But I have four more to go. So let's go on to the second one. Now, this is a great soup for a couple of reasons. I think if you're in a region that it doesn't really get cool in the evenings in the fall, maybe you're in the American Southwest, for example, or maybe you're in Florida, but you still want to kind of take advantage of traditional soup season, this is a great one. This is a tortilla soup and with lime and chicken. It's a light soup. It's incredibly easy to make. Of course, it has the flavors of Central America. And again, you can adjust the spice level to any degree that you like. Now, like the first soup, which I didn't mention with the pasta fagioli, is that it's a broth-based soup. So it's a thinner soup. It's not as hearty as, say, a cream-based soup. So this one, again, broth-based soup. So it's a little bit lighter. It's not quite as heavy. But again, very, very easy to make. It has a reasonably impressive list of ingredients, but none of it's that complicated. Chicken broth, Mexican-style stewed tomatoes, bay leaf, garlic, cumin, crushed red pepper, cooked chicken breast strips, lime juice. And this recipe that I'm going to link to on Epicurious actually calls for you to kind of bake your own tortillas. But you can always buy the pre-made crunchy tortilla strips just to save time. But it doesn't take a lot of time to just take flour tortillas and bake them up in the oven so they're nice and crispy. So tortilla soup with lime and chicken. This is, again, one of my favorites. And great soup, easy soup, light for those folks who aren't looking for a heavy soup or maybe live in a region where they just want kind of a light, refreshing soup. Okay, we're going to go to the opposite end of the lightness and heaviness spectrum with this next soup. This soup I made actually for the first time just a couple of weeks ago, and this comes out of the Chrissy Teigen's Cravings cookbook. Now, before I even get to the soup, I have to mention, and I may have talked about it briefly on the show before, but if you haven't checked out this cookbook, it might be my favorite cookbook of the last year. It is full of really wonderful comfort recipes. This is not the typical cookbook you might expect from a celebrity where it's light food and healthy cooking. Not that it's unhealthy per se, but Chrissy Teigen is not cutting any corners when it comes to flavor in this book. So this soup, chicken pot pie soup. Now, I am a gigantic fan of homemade chicken pot pie, but it can be kind of a pain to make, even if you use store-bought pie crust, which is totally cool in my book. But it can be kind of a pain to get right, and it's kind of a pain to eat. It can be messy. Sometimes you have to counteract that. You kind of make them in separate little ramekins with the crust top. And it's always good. It's always delicious. But this chicken pot pie soup from the Cravings cookbook is easy. And the fun part about it, to get the pie crust aspect of it, she actually has a recipe to make pie, like baked pie crust triangles that you would dip in the soup, kind of like big slices of bread. And again, you could use store-bought pie crust to do that too, and it would work just fine. Or if you don't even want to do the pie crust route, we've made it with just thick, crusty bread, and it's great too. But if you know chicken pot pie and you love chicken pot pie, this is exactly that, just in a nice, thick, creamy, hearty soup form. So this, again, is not light eating, but it is so good. Now, I don't have a link to the recipe right from Cravings or Chrissy Teigen's website, but I did find a popsugar.com webpage with the recipe in it, and it looks to be pretty accurate, so you can get the recipe here. Again, this soup has quite a few ingredients, but again, it's easy to make, but it is not light. I mean, we're talking whole milk, a couple of sticks of butter, some heavy cream, but everything else in it is what you come to expect from a really fantastic chicken pot pie filling. Carrots, peas, onions, she calls for thinly sliced deli ham to go in it, which is kind of a new twist to me. I've used crumbled cooked bacon. That works really well, too. Of course, chicken meat. You can use rotisserie chicken meat or cook up some chicken breasts, garlic, and other seasonings, and, of course, chicken broth. This is a cold night, total comfort food soup. If you like chicken noodle soup, I can't imagine you would not absolutely go head over heels for this chicken pot pie soup. So highly recommended from the Cravings cookbook, Chrissy Teigen's chicken pot pie soup. Okay, that's three soups down, two soups to go. Now, this one is a great vegetarian addition to your soup list. It's very easy to make, and it's just an absolute classic soup, and that is French lentil soup. Now, if you've never really cooked with lentils before, the good news is they're really easy to work with, especially when it comes to a lentil soup, because once you cook all these little buggers up with the rest of the ingredients, you're actually going to puree part of the soup to give it a thicker, heartier texture. This is a relatively light and healthy recipe. There's no cream. There's no butter really to speak of. There's a little bit of olive oil. So it's low fat, and lentils are really good for you. Now, a word, if you can use French lentils, those are the smaller, more petite green lentils, French, do so. French lentils hold up a little bit better when you cook them. They'll hold their shape. And generally, I find that French lentils have a little bit of a earthier flavor, a little deeper, richer flavor than, say, your more common brown lentils. If you can't find French lentils, by all means, use the brown or red lentils. Those will work. Or regular green lentils. Those will work just fine. Now, French lentil soup does not have to be complicated. And with this soup, you know, within 35 to 45 minutes, you can have a delicious, richly flavored soup ready to go for dinner. It does hold over pretty well, so you could eat it for lunch the next day. It'll still be a good consistency and quite flavorful. But, you know, it's simple. You saute some vegetables, you add some broth, lentils, and some tomato juice, bring it up to a boil, then simmer, you know, for about a half an hour. And you're about done. You transfer some of the soup to a blender or use a hand blender, an immersion blender, and, you know, puree up a portion, maybe a third or up to a half of the soup to give it kind of a pureed, creamy, silkier texture, and then reincorporate that back with the soup. So you're going to have some thicker, more pureed portions kind of intermixed with the whole lentils and the whole vegetables. So French lentil soup, very good vegetarian entry for your go-to soup list. Okay, one more soup on the list. Now, this is an interesting one because I actually have a story to share for this soup. Now, remember at the beginning of this episode, I mentioned that soups don't really excite me, even generally when I go to a restaurant. Well, a few years ago, I guess this would have been, I think, late 2011 or maybe mid 2012, right in there somewhere. My wife and I went to New Orleans. I was there on a work trip, but I went ahead and took her along so we could make kind of a long weekend out of it. We stayed a few extra days. And while we were there, we ate a lot of good food. And one of my bucket list goals, which I have never been there, so it was on my list of things to do before I'm gone forever, is have dinner at Commander's Palace. Commander's Palace is an iconic restaurant in New Orleans. I don't have the details right in front of me, but I think it was originally founded by the Brennan family, I think in the late 1800s. So it's been around forever. It's an icon. It's an absolute landmark treasure in New Orleans. And some folks might say that it's, you know, it's more of a tourist attraction now than a real fine dining restaurant, but it's probably one of the nicest restaurants I've ever had the pleasure of having a meal in. Not only is it a great restaurant, but it's actually turned out its share of world famous chefs. Emeril Lagasse really got his big break start at the Commander's Palace. You know Emeril Lagasse, right? Bam! Kicking it up a notch, that guy from the Food Network. Paul Prudhomme, probably the one chef most responsible for making Cajun and Creole food famous outside of the region. If it wasn't for Paul Prudhomme, we wouldn't know anything of blackened catfish or any blackened Cajun cuisine for that matter. And I've actually heard fine Cajun chefs kind of poo-poo the blackened food craze. But the irony there is nobody would even care that it wasn't authentic traditional Cajun if it wasn't for Paul Prudhomme, because nobody would care about authentic traditional Cajun food outside of the region if it wasn't for him. So he got his start at Commander's Palace and a handful of other great chefs that go on and on about it. But so Commander's Palace is kind of a special place. Okay, where did the soup come in? Well, my wife and I ordered, or at least I ordered, I can't remember, I don't think my wife got this, but I ordered a kind of a sampler as the first course of three soups from the menu, and mainly because I think the other option didn't look as appealing. And I can only remember two out of the three soups. I know, and these were just small samplers, you know, little bowls. I know one was a duck gumbo. One was a honey roasted parsnip soup. And I can't for the life of me remember what the third soup was. I'll have to try to look it up. But this is so interesting to me because what blew me away was the honey roasted parsnip soup. I absolutely had no expectations. I didn't even have a low expectation. I just had no expectations for what that soup would taste like. But it, to this day, it made such an impression on me. It's like the one soup I think of when I think of wonderful soups. And I know there was a lot going into it. It was the atmosphere. It was the ambiance of being at Commander's Palace on vacation with my wife. I mean, all those things contributed to the wonderful nature of it. But it was truly the most delicious soup I had ever tried. I could have eaten a gallon of it at the table and just said, don't even bring me any other food. And I don't know why it made such an impression on me, but it was fantastic. And then, of course, we went on and we had the rest of our meal, and it was just amazing. And it's also a testament to that soup that I don't really remember much else of the meal, but that soup to me sticks out. It was spicy. It was creamy. It had the hint of the honey sweetness. It was earthy. It was just amazing. Well, since we got back from that trip, this was 5 or 6 years ago, I had been trying to recreate that soup, find recipes that got me close to what it was like when I had it at Commander's Palace. And I've never been successful. I've never found a recipe for the actual soup itself. That was until a year or two ago, I stumbled across somebody's blog who had been to Commander's Palace, and they described the meal that they had there. And much to my amazement, they described having the honey roasted parsnip soup. And the great thing was that they made such a commotion about how great the soup was. Apparently, the sous chef actually brought them the recipe to the table handwritten. He hand wrote the recipe for the honey parsnip soup and signed it and handed it to the folks who wrote this blog post because they raved about the soup. So now I have the legit, authentic honey roasted parsnip soup recipe from Commander's Palace. But here's the funny part. I've never made it. I almost feel like if I make it, the recipe that I know is the tried and true recipe, it's not going to turn out like it was when I was at Commander's Palace, and I'm going to be disappointed. So I've just avoided trying this final definitive recipe that I found online. So I'm sharing it with you because I'm hoping one of you dear listeners will make it and report back to me and let me know that it was amazing. And if that's the case, I'll give it a try. But anyway, Commander's Palace, honey roasted parsnip soup. And of course, I'm reading the recipe, you know, after I get it, and I realize instantly why it was so good. Well, let me just give you the ratio of parsnips to cream. 12 parsnips and 2 quarts of heavy cream, and then, of course, other ingredients thrown in there. So if that gives you any idea of the richness, and of course, a stick of butter for good measure as well. So, yeah, obviously, it's more like buttery cream soup with a hint of parsnip flavor, but I wouldn't complain. So if any of you are game for making it, please do and let me know how it turns out. So I can either make it or not. And maybe I'll just skip making it and let it live on forever in my memory. So that was the last soup on my list of 5 soups. So just a quick recap, if you can go over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/101 to get all the recipes. But soup number 1 was pasta fagioli soup, an Italian favorite. Soup number 2 was chicken tortilla and lime soup, a nice, light, spicy soup for when you just don't feel like eating a heavy, rich, creamy soup. But if you do feel like eating a heavy, rich, creamy soup, then soup number 3 was your chicken pot pie soup from Chrissy Teigen's Craving Cookbook. Soup number 4, classic, easy to make, a favorite for everybody, French lentil soup. So that's a soup you should just have in your recipe box anyway. It's a great standby. And last but not least, the legendary, or at least in my mind, legendary Commander's Palace honey roasted parsnip soup. Again, I hope somebody tries it and lets me know. So there you go, folks. That is your dose of soup-spiration. Oh boy, as we move into soup season. Enjoy. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Again, I thought I'd just take a little time and go through some soup inspiration, some of my favorite soups to get you kickstarted in soup season. Coming up in some future episodes, I'm working on a cheese episode, and I'm working on some back to the basic episodes. I'm going to talk about making bread, making pasta, making marinara sauce, those sorts of things, just the kind of the standard dishes that home cooks should know how to make. And those will be coming out in the near future. As I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're interested in getting a hold of me, please feel free to send an email over to feedback@KitchenCounterPodcast or find me on Facebook or Twitter. I'm always happy to engage with you guys. All right. Well, that does it for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thanks again for taking time out of your day to listen to what I have to say about home cooking. If you think this show would be of interest to any of your other family members or friends, please do me a favor and share it with them. And if they don't know what a podcast is, take a couple minutes and show them how to find podcasts, because aside from my show, there's a ton of great stuff out there that is everybody can find something they love. All right, everybody. Once again, this is Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. And until next time, Happy cooking.